So, I'm glad you're using your keys. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Use your keys. Here we are, 3 months into the year. And our theme has been Key 23. And I wanted you to find a key scripture. I wanted you to find a key Bible study for outreach. And I wanted you to fine-tune your testimony and then pray for a key person that you're going to reach out to. I'm going to reach out to everybody. Amen. But I believe that there's a key that the Lord could use to open a whole family, to open a whole circle of friends, or whatever it might be. Matthew 16, 19 is where I want to start tonight. Matthew 16 and 19, the Lord letting Peter know of the keys and what was given to him. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, usually it goes the other way, right? We say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want that impact here. But this verse is saying, what you do here is going to have impact in heaven. So the authority that God gives to a believer is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Praise God. Authority over death and hell. Authority over disease and sickness. Now, we know that that's not carte blanche. It's not, you know, you can just go around doing one miracle after another. We know the will of God has to be in the work. Amen. But thank God we can see what God can do through his word. You can be seated. Seek and save is what Jesus came to do. Luke 19 and 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. That is his purpose. When we identify with that purpose, I think we are doing what is pleasing to the Lord. When we live that purpose, seek and save, not our salvation, not my name that's going to save. I can't pour out the Spirit. No, but he can. And we trust his word, the word that we know is powerful and eternal. Praise God. And the what we call the Great Commission, the go and preach and teach and baptize and so on, all of that is what we've got to become great at, because God doesn't have any other plan. He's not going to send angels. Well, he has sent angels, but they don't have the salvation message. And so he relies on us, which is, it depends on how you look at it, I guess. Might seem shaky at some times, might seem solid when we recognize how many of us there are and how the scriptures say one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 2,000. 10,000, beyond exponential, just incredible what the Lord expects of us and what he can do. And then a testimony. I thought about the testimonies that are in the Word of God. And this Israelite maid who served in Naaman's house, she was captured. She was removed from her household, from her country, her culture, her language, everything, set in a totally foreign environment. And yet, Naaman with his leprosy was what she felt compassion for. And she testified, there's a prophet that my master can go to and he can be healed. It's amazing that Naaman's wife and then Naaman took heed. They didn't just pass it off. They didn't just say, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Ah, those Israelites don't have anything more than we do. Our rivers are far better. Because he ended up saying that, didn't he? Yeah. And, oh my, the whole situation that unfolds for for Naaman and the amazing aspect of his healing. But I noticed, and you might want to turn to 2 Kings 5 and 3 and see if there's an exclamation point in your translation. The King James translators put an exclamation point there. Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria! Exclamation point. Was she excited when she said it? Was she confident when she said it? I think so. I think that's why the translators added the exclamation point. Praise God. Just a few words, but it meant something so much for Naaman and his household, and started a long journey to his healing. Ups and downs, doubts of the outcome, almost warfare between the kings. It must have been something else. That woman at the well. Reputation in doubt. But Jesus spoke to her. And you know how it unfolded. And the question that would bring out her honesty or lack thereof. And fortunately, she didn't try to fool the Lord. I don't have a husband. You're right, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands. And the man you're with now is not your husband. She could have been very offended. She could have been very upset. She could have stomped away, left her water bottle, or tried to break it over his head, or something, you know, some crazy thing like that. But she went to the men of the city and said, "Come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Yeah, she her past, her hurts, her everything that was negative in her life was overcome with the fact that she had a divine dialogue. Praise God. And she wasn't afraid to testify. And that's what she did. He told me all that ever I did. Praise God. How about that man born blind in John 9? Four times he's got to stand on the miracle that happened to him. I was blind, but now I see. See. I don't know I'm sure he was trying to be respectful to some of the elder Pharisees and so on, but he must have been getting pretty exasperated. And finally he said, "Well, herein is a marvelous thing that he has healed my eyes." You know, they didn't rejoice with him. They didn't celebrate. They were trying to criticize, trying to find fault, trying to say Jesus is a sinner. Huh. But didn't back him down. They cast him out, but Jesus brought him in. Praise God. I think that's a pretty good trade-off. Amen. And think about you. You had to change some friends. You had to change some locations. You had to change some habits. Amen. But oh my. Was it worth it when the Lord brings you in, into his fellowship, into a relationship, into his power and goodness, into his blessing? Amen. Thank the Lord. That rich man in hell, Sister Donna taught about him. I noticed how in hell he was in torment. And torment is mentioned four times in that passage of Luke 16. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to end up in the devil's place. Hell was not made for you. It's made for the devil and his angels. And so this rich man, however, lived his life, and he ended up going where he lived his life to go. Lazarus to Abraham and the rich man in hell. But he begged for Lazarus to be sent, first of all, to dip his finger, and then to send Lazarus to my brothers, five brothers, that he may testify unto them. And of course, Abraham elevates the word of God, just like the Lord in Psalms elevates the word of God above his name. Can you believe it says that in Psalms? And the Lord elevates the word in Luke 16, saying, even if one comes back to them from the dead, they won't believe if they don't believe this word. That's why it's so essential and so necessary the man from Gadara. Every one of these had testimonies, but specifically it talks about testimonies on these individuals. He's changed. Oh my, what a change. Clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, in his right mind. And modesty became important to him because he was tearing his clothes off, running around screaming in the tombs and breaking chains and fetters and not being able to be bound, just wild. But now he's calm. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And he's not carrying on like a madman. He's in his right mind. Those are the changes the Lord could bring. Praise God. He wanted to go with the Lord, but Jesus told him to go home and tell great things God hath done. And so he did. He told the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Thank the Lord. Aren't you glad you got a testimony? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul liked to tell about that bright light that knocked him down. The great light, he said at one point. And then to the king, he said, a light brighter than the sun. No wonder they said, Paul, you're mad. How can there be a light brighter than the sun? But Paul said, I'm not mad, noble Festus. No, I speak the words of truth. Praise God. And thank the Lord, that's what you can do. Pray to be anointed. Once you've practiced your testimony, once you've gotten it to be concise and succinct and brief and so on, because you may only have 30 seconds to share it. And so you've got to hit the high points. Maybe you've got 5 minutes, maybe you've got a half an hour. Be ready to expand your testimony. That's why I say you need to be practiced with it. Amen. And be able to tell people and be adaptable and ready to elaborate, because you might have that opportunity. Or they may have a question and you need to be ready to give an answer. The Bible says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Not meekness and fear that you're going to be rejected or you're going to be laughed at or you're going to be ridiculed. No, there's a soul that you're talking to. And you're not trying to win an argument, you're trying to win a soul. Praise God. And that's what we do. I'm not sure, but the Amplified that we've got there, Brother Levi, we've got to probably buy the other Amplified. But go ahead and put the Amplified of 1 Peter 3 and 15 up, if you would. Because I like the way it talks about giving him first place in your life. Give a logical defense. And the assurance that is in you. And do it with gentleness and respect. Okay, so is it about the same? Pretty close. And that's the Amplified Classic. Yeah, we'll have to work with getting the other one. But that one's good as well. And thank God that we can be ready. Be ready, that's the important thing. Because the Lord wants us to share that testimony. And we sing that chorus sometimes. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. And you are unique. Nobody has your testimony. Nobody has your background. You know, exactly. You may have somebody who has grown up in the same town and gone to the same school. You can be from the same family. But you all have your own testimony. Praise God. And nobody can take your place. So, be ready to share it. Be ready to give it. And then teach. Teach. How many have been teaching Bible studies now this year? All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Praise God. Good. 8. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to teach the Word of God. Now, which Bible study do you find easiest to work with? Which one do you like to use? And And you find yourself picking that one up and taking it.
I really liked Sister Holzman's, as well as the other Bible studies.
Okay. The Prepare Your Hearts or Prepare Him Room?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah, the booklet that she wrote. Yeah. I like exploring God's Word. I just like to flip the charts. And I like the old one, not the modern pictured one. I like the old artist rendition. And I don't know. I just feel comfortable with that one. 12 lessons, but it often goes much longer than that. It's just one that I found to be successful. Anybody else? Sister Esther? Search for Truth. There's an older Search for Truth, then there's a Search for Truth 2, which is much more colorful, you can get it in the big chart, you can get it in the notebook size. It's just handy, again, to have a systematic way of marching right through the Scriptures. You can jump around. You know, we talk about chasing rabbits. It's okay to chase a rabbit or two when you're teaching Bible study, as long as it's a Scripture that's linked to what you're working with. And, you know, we talk about, maybe you're talking about light, the pillar of light at night and the pillar of cloud by day, and how that light guided them. You can move to a New Testament Scripture about light and read that, even though it's not part of the lesson. And that's fine. I do that all the time. I'm jumping around because a verse or a thought comes to my mind while I'm teaching, and I want to throw that in. Praise God. And it works out well. So thank the Lord for the opportunity to share His Word, because the examples in Scripture are complete. Apollos was a very impressive young man. He knew the baptism of John only. That was as far as his experience had gone in his spiritual things. He knew about Jesus being Messiah, and he proved through the Scriptures, eloquent in the Scriptures, mighty in the Scriptures, and he proved from the, and remember, all they had was the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. All they had was Old Testament scrolls and Scriptures, but he knew them, and fluently he could express what was there concerning Jesus. And Aquila and Priscilla heard him, fellow workers with Paul, and they invited him over for coffee. Or whatever, however they got him to come with them, they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. That's what God wants you to do. There's a lot of people that have good experiences, but not a full experience of the new birth. You know, he had a good background, and he was strong in that background, but he needed more. And thank God, he was open to more and became a mighty worker for God after he heard what Aquila and Priscilla had to share with him. And then that's chapter 18 of Acts. And then 19, Paul encounters some John the Baptist disciples. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We haven't even heard anything about the Holy Ghost. And then how were you baptized? John's baptism. And so Paul went right on. John said to believe on him that was to come after him, which is on Christ Jesus. When they heard that, what'd they do? Got in a big argument. No, they obeyed. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So the teaching is very, very important. Those results were very quick and direct. May not happen for you that way. Don't get discouraged. Just keep teaching. Praise God. And the Lord will give you the results from His Word that He desires you to have. Amen. Into His Marvelous Light, Brother Farmer's Scriptures, the mini videos, the card that Brother Levi prepared. You can put that card under your phone And all of a sudden, here's the website that has the Bible studies. I did discover that Into His Marvelous Light, the interactive part where you can click yes or no, is frozen on no. That's okay. You still point out, did they speak with other tongues? Yes. Were they all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Yes. Even though whatever that's called, Brother Levi is stuck on no. You still, in fact, that would even be better. And you can say it says no, but we know it did happen. It's yes. and be able to share that way. So go ahead and utilize every aspect of study that you can. Sometimes the short Bible study is going to be the quickest way, especially with somebody who already has a background in the Lord. And you're going to share the name of Jesus Christ for baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Praise God. Determine what you prefer and use it. That's the key. Use it. Amen. And then be able to identify again with what the Lord says. He came to seek and to save. Praise God. Now, a general study of the Word of God is okay too, as long as you can build in the truth like of the new birth and so on. Just don't be like the guy who thought he was going to find inspiration by closing his eyes, opening his Bible, and poking. Judas went and hanged himself. That's not the inspiration he was looking for. So he closed his Bible and thought, I'm going to try it again. Closed his eyes, opened his Bible, pointed. Go thou and do likewise. Nope. Third time's the charm. Closed his Bible, closed his eyes, opened it up, pointed one more time. What thou doest, do quickly. Don't teach your Bible study like that. Make sure you... Because in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. God's going to quicken His Word. There's going to be passages that you're going to be able to find and just jump right in. Praise God. And go with it and be able to bring it into what Jesus told Nicodemus to do, be born of the water and of the Spirit. And in that same chapter that has verse 16, you're going to look at verse 5 through 8. And it's going to be powerful. Praise God. And you're going to be able to do the work of the Lord. So that key person, now we reach out to everybody. We sow the seed everywhere. But I want you to pray that the Lord would bring a key person into your sphere, into your area of influence. And by key person, I mean somebody like Lydia in Acts 16. Lydia was having prayer down by the river. Paul and Silas joined her in prayer. And oh my, revival. The Philippian jailer, not an ideal circumstance for you to be in. But the Philippian jailer and his whole household baptized after midnight. Before the sun came up, they wanted to get it done. They didn't want to miss out. Praise God. And oh my, and Cornelius. We can go on and on. The key people that brought others into the truth because of their influence. So you're going to pray. Now, John 17 and 20, here's the Lord's Prayer. Chapter 17 of John is the Lord praying. And verse 20, he prayed for you. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Whose word? Your word. You're teaching the word. You're sharing the word. You're speaking the word. The Lord prayed that you would have influence and have results. And those who believe on you because you spoke because you shared your testimony. Praise God. You think that prayer has power? You think that prayer can anoint you? Mm-hmm. So go forth in confidence in what his word declares. Psalm 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, does it say doubtless?
Doubtless.
Come again with rejoicing. The Lord knows how to change weeping to rejoicing. The Lord knows how to turn sorrow into singing. And the person with a burden going forth with the seed, the word of God, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, the harvest, with him. Praise God. You underline in your Bible, make sure you underline that one. Amen. The power of the Lord being very evident there, and how God wants to use you to win souls, to seek and to save. Amen. His presence and his power will be with you. Mark 16 and 20, they went forth and preached everywhere. Now remember, just 50 days before that, they crucified the Lord. But now here they are, taken off everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So there's the confidence again that you can have. Matthew 28, 20. Teaching them. There's the emphasis that the Lord makes on teaching. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am. I like this, I am. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Praise God. Confidence. The Lord's with you. The Lord's anointing you. The Lord's making a way for you. Praise God. Step out there. Use those keys. See what the Lord will do. Praise God. As he loves for you to believe his word. Step out on that word. Amen. Amen. All right, so what we read here about Peter giving the keys, let's take a look at that. I have given unto thee, oh my, that's an understatement, isn't it? The Lord has given so much and provided so much. But specifically, the keys of the kingdom. And the binding and the loosing, there's a lot of discussion on that. I know it speaks of authority and even in the Jewish terms of binding and loosing, there's a legal aspect of legal documents that is included there. And some go back to Isaiah 22:22, where the Lord's going to open the door and no man can shut. And he's going to shut the door and no man can open. And Revelation repeats that. Praise God. Now that's power, isn't it? That's blessing. But what I think it comes down to is that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. They began at Jerusalem to bind sin in the name of Jesus and remit it. Praise God. And those who walked away from that opportunity lost it. And that's still happening today. But you've got to give them the chance. You've got to give them the opportunity. Praise God, and believe for the Lord. Now, that phrase is repeated in Matthew 18:18, but this time it's talking about conflict and forgiveness and how that's got to be dealt with as well. In John 20 and 23, the sins that you forgive are forgiven, the sins you don't forgive are not forgiven. You know, the whole aspect there that's John 20 and 23. The whole aspect there of how you've got to work through those situations. But when did Peter use the keys? That's what we want to look at. Now, I know you have the answers. I wish I could remember the analogy that the preacher shared when I was a new Christian. He talked about the gospel being a vehicle, and the four tires were Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And guess who was driving? Peter. He's got the keys. Paul was busy writing letters, so you don't want him to drive. But I wish I could remember all of it, but it was cute. Just think of it. Peter failed, but was restored and became a powerful leader of the church. I'm glad our God is a God of restoration. Amen. I'm so glad that that the Lord does the work of restoration, and we can believe him, we can trust him, we can rely upon him to do that. Amen. We're reaching out to new folks, but there's a lot of old folks, former folks, who know all about the power of the Holy Ghost. They know all about the goodness of God. They know the power of the name of Jesus. They've gone a different direction. And the devil, I think, has a whole set of lies that he reserves to impede restoration. A whole slew of deceit to keep people from coming back that he unloads on them. Your prayers. Amen. Your prayers. Praise God. Now, everybody's got to make up their mind for themselves. We know that. But keep praying. Praise God. And it's not all dependent on your prayers. I know that. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. The devil likes to do that. The devil likes to make you think that you're not praying enough. But you have been. You've been fasting. You've been believing God. Amen. Have confidence that God hears and has an answer. Praise God. And like I said, everybody's got to make up their own mind. But the keys are the gospel. The keys are knowledge. Jesus is the Messiah. The church is built on the bedrock of his truth and obedience to that truth. And the keys are used to open the door. That's why they're important. And so, Peter is significant. In chapter 1, the book of Acts, he's standing in the midst of the disciples. In verse 15, here he is. He's standing up. He was running. maybe not running, but definitely denying. Just 7-8 weeks before this. But now here he is, standing in the midst of the disciples. He was a leader, quoting scripture, determining purpose. He set out the requirements for the replacement of Judas. Had to be somebody who was with the disciples from the baptism of John to Jesus being taken up from them in the clouds and a witness of the resurrection. So they got these names out, and one was chosen. And then the Spirit was poured out. And then Peter stood up again with the 11, and preached a scriptural message. He wasn't going off on another tangent. He quoted from the Bible, and conviction settled on the people who heard him when he said, "You crucified Jesus, who is both Lord and Christ." And they finally cried out, "What shall we do?" And here come the keys. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise God. Very boom, right there. No humming and hawing, no committee to figure it out. No, let's see here, how should we, who's eloquent among us here? I wish Apollos was here. No. The Holy Ghost inspired what he had to say. Because, remember, Jesus said, Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. Praise God. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. Now, this is very key, very important. Verses 40 to 42, with many other words did he testify and exhort. And then, oh, what results? They that gladly received his word were baptized. And how many? 3,000. What a baptismal party. Praise God. What an incredible time they had. Amen. The power and the blessing of the Lord. Now, the church was growing exponentially. It was just amazing. And there was some concern about the widows being served. The Grecians, Jews, it became a little bit of a conflict. The apostle said, not fitting for us to wait on tables. We need to wait on the word and prayer. We need some men who will step up and take care of this. And so, 7 men were selected, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, workers, willing to step in. Did they know about the apostles' doctrine? Oh, yes, they did. Because one of them, named Philip, went to Samaria. Now, remember, that woman ran around town saying, it's Jesus, he's the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's the Savior of the world. Those were the seeds that were sown. And now, praise God, harvest. Because Philip went there, knowing the apostles' doctrine, and he preached Christ to Samaria. There were miracles. There was deliverance. There was healing. There was great joy in the city. The whole place was shook up. Amen. Good things happening. And then twice in Acts 8, they were baptized. Verse 12 and verse 16. Verse 12 is very significant because it says men and women. Not just men in this covenant. Men and women. Praise God. And Galatians 3, 27, 28 bears that out as well. Neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Praise God. How powerful. How excellent. Holy Ghost had not yet come, had not yet fallen on them. The elders in Jerusalem sent Peter and John. So here comes Peter. He has the keys. They laid their hands on them there in Samaria, and they began receiving the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And the power of the Lord was evident in a dynamic way, a powerful way. And the blessing of the Lord that was so great. Peter and John continued preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Amen. Then the Gentiles. And I was thinking, Cornelius is a godly man, a devout man. Man who feared God. But you can't get more Gentile than him. A Roman centurion of the Italian band. I mean, he's way out there as far as distance from the Hebrew heritage. None. But he's praying, and a vision came. I told you an angel is not going to tell the message of salvation. An angel appeared and told him to send for a preacher. Amen. And to Cornelius' credit, he did. Summoned one of his soldiers, summoned two of his servants. Go to Joppa. Find a man named Peter. He's staying with somebody named Simon. Tell him to come. And Peter is praying. He's up on the rooftop. It's about noon. His stomach's growling. But a vision. And the vision came three times. Are you thick-headed like Peter sometimes? I got a kick out of Brother Slater saying, you know, we feel that the Lord's got to tell us through signs and wonders if he wants us to do something. There's got to be handwriting on the wall. There's got to be two or three prophets. There's got to be assurance in the Word of God. Then maybe we'll step forward to do something for God. But if our flesh tempts us to do something, you don't need any signs. You don't need any background. You step right out into that temptation. God help us. Amen. So, Peter was even arguing with God, wasn't he? Not so, Lord. Amen. But finally, he was told by the Spirit to go. There are three men down there seeking you. Go with them, doubting nothing. He needed to hear that part. And he gets to a Cornelius house. He hears the report from Cornelius. And he says, I perceive God is no respecter of persons. Praise God. And then he preaches. And the Holy Ghost comes on him. Praise God. While he's yet speaking these words. Amen. Oh my. How powerful. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And there was a pretty good group there. Cornelius and his household, his servants, some of the soldiers. Remember, he's a captain of 100 soldiers. And they all got it. They're all filled on the day of Pentecost. They were all filled at Cornelius' house. That's God's plan. He wants everybody to receive it. He wants everybody to be filled with it. They heard them speak with other tongues. Praise God. Peter said, can any man forbid water? That's a good question. That these should not be baptized who've received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Nobody spoke up. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Oh, what a revival. Then, chapter 11, Peter got called into the council. And he rehearsed the matter from the beginning. He said, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. What did he mean? They were speaking in tongues. He said, I remembered that Jesus prophesied, or that Jesus pointed to John's prophecy about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they heard these things, verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Praise God. And that includes us. Amen. Thank God that we have that opportunity as well to receive from the Lord the blessings that he would bestow, not just on the Hebrews, but everybody. Praise God. I'm glad we've got those keys. I'm glad we can open some doors for people. Praise God. Well, the door's open. You just got to let them know what they can do to enter in. Now, Peter, I looked in Peter's two letters, and he never said anything about keys, and he only said one thing about the kingdom. 2 Peter 1 and 11, he talked about an entrance that can be abundant. An abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. And thank the Lord. you don't have to hope that you're just going to skimp by and barely make it through the gate. No, Peter says, it's going to be wide open for you. Praise God. You can move right in. You can see the hand of the Lord displayed on your behalf and enter into that power and that glory and that blessing. Now, Peter warned in his second letter about the coming of the Lord and about judgment and about the elements melting with fervent heat. He warned about all of those things, and we need to heed the warning. What manner of people ought you to be? He said, you see these things, you look for his coming. Amen. You got to be aware, be on top of things. That's not to live in fear. That's simply to be wise and diligent and making sure. Make your calling and election sure, he wrote. And then reaching out because you know these things are coming. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. And thank God we're able to move into that realm of messenger. And not just a messenger from, this is what it said. You go with the message, this is what I know, because it happened to me. I know how he saves. I know how he heals. I know how he delivers. I know how he answers prayer. I know how he gives peace. I know how the comfort comes that you can't even understand it. You can't even comprehend it, but it's there. Praise God. Amen. And that can be very convincing. Praise God. And like Joshua taking over the leadership of Moses and being told, I think at least five times, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is going to fight for you. Amen. And the message, you know, goes on several ways there. Never leave you nor forsake you, and so on. It was a daunting task, to be sure, for Joshua. But he'd seen Moses in operation. He'd seen God do great things. He was up on the mountain with Moses and several other places and situations that he was involved in the victory. So he knew. It wasn't totally new to him. Praise God. And that power and that blessing could come for you as well. Stand with me, please. All right, so the keys, we've got 9 months, Lord willing. 9 months to use those keys in this year. And those keys can develop even to a greater degree in your life, and a greater accomplishment and effectiveness. Praise God. And the development that's there, how powerful. How amazing. We've got one of those calendars that you tear off every day. There's a scripture on it and a beautiful picture. And we kind of wondered today, a beautiful picture of roses and the angel visiting Mary. What? But 9 months from now is Christmas. Get it? Developing. Increasing. Praise God. The power of the Lord. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow you. With God, all things are possible. Huh. And the Lord could use you to bring others into the kingdom. Praise God. Let's come and pray here today. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. We pray a prayer of dedication, of course, to the purposes of God, to fulfilling His word and doing what His word tells us to do. But I want us to claim a victory, too. I want us to see that there's going to be the results that God can use you to fulfill. Praise God. I want to see, I want you to see yourself teaching a Bible study. Amen. Maybe you've already taught them. See yourself teaching a few more. Amen. And then seeing these water is getting splashed around because somebody's getting baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Somebody else standing in these altars or in the pew. Praise God, it hasn't happened to me yet. While I'm preaching, somebody interrupted getting the Holy Ghost. I'd gladly stop preaching just to rejoice with them getting the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's pray that the Lord would help us here. And put yourself in the harvest picture. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, it's precious, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the harvest, bringing the results. Praise God. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for calling us out of darkness and into your marvelous light.